Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu, kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale kalapo kondwela leloeka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai kuvutika mutima koma zoti tazisoa ni maona misozi masomwake ni mavuto abale ni mavuto.
Good morning from Dallas, Texas, on this July 4th, as the great state of the United States of America celebrates its Dr. Patrick. How many years? 200 and what? 39? As America celebrates its, I believe it's 239th Independence Anniversary, it's a great thing. Wow, that's a long time. Welcome to Zander Block Talk Radio. I am your host, Nathan Nkama from Dallas, Texas, as we continue our discussion. We're going to be joined by three gentlemen from the United Kingdom. They're going to be sharing with us on a new product that has been launched into the market, Diaspora Funeral Cash Funds, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Dr. Patrick, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. And if we're including, if we're starting from 1776, it's 231
years. 231
years.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's a long time.
Yes.
That's a long time. The country has been through a lot of things, and Obama is what, the 46th, 49th,
48th
president?
47th
president. Okay. That's an interesting history there. Zambia is right there following in the footsteps.
but as Zambia is a baby to the United States, the United States is a baby to Europe.
Yes. That's true. We're getting ready for a great discussion here. And I think one of our guests, colleagues from the UK, has called in. Good afternoon, UK 9840. Is this Mr. Mambazi, Uncle GM?
Yes, it's me. Good afternoon. I don't know. Is it good morning? I don't know. I can't even figure it out. So it's just evening, good afternoon, whatever the situation is.
I know. It's 10 a.m. in Texas for me.
Oh, is
it's
it?
Amazing.
Then good morning.
Yes, it is. Good morning. And thank you for joining us. Let's wait for Jeff to call in, and then we'll begin our discussion. Dr. Patrick, we're saying Obama is the 47th president.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, my brother sounds so clear. Are you sure he's calling from the UK?
Yes I am.
Wow.
Jeff, we're waiting for you.
I'm coming through.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
See, we had to wait all those years to get the first African American president.
Yeah.
Wow, 250 something years.
But do you know that they have said that Warren Harding was an African American?
Really? Was he?
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting factoids, as they would say, that are floating out there. But the first official African-American president is, in fact, Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm. I think,
yes, it should be him.
I like that. Are they saying that
you
Mr.
Know what?
Patrick just...
You know what?
Uh-huh.
Being that we're talking about the presidents and little factoids, I want to throw something out that'll ramble the mind around a bit. You know they're talking about replacing Alexander Hamilton with a woman, and the woman may be Harriet Tubman or Susan B. Anthony, et cetera, et cetera. But
do you know that
there is a possibility that Alexander Hamilton was also an African of African descent?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's going to ramble a lot of minds. I figured I'd throw that out so everybody start thinking about it and rushing to the history books.
Okay, good. Dr. Patrick, that's a good one. We need to pick that one up. Both my guests are here, and we are going to begin our discussion. This is very of utmost importance and deserves the attention that it deserves for us to talk about this. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for calling in, and everybody from whichever part of the world that you are listening us, you are joining us from. It's 11 p.m. in Perth, Australia, 1700 in Lusaka, and 4 p.m. In the United Kingdom, and it's 7 p.m. in Moscow. A product has been launched out there, and it has come out. It's called Diaspora Funeral Cash Plan. And we thought that, I think, in light of the information that is the information that we have from the United Nations, basically UN Department of Economic and Social Affairs, statistics indicate that the world has become a global village, which we all know, with many people belonging to more than one society. And I'm reading this off the Diaspora Funeral Cash Plan website. In September 2013, figures from the UN indicated that 232 million people, or 3.2% of the world's population, live outside their country of birth, okay? Compared with 175 in 2000, 154 million in 1990. So the figures are quite huge and justify the need for us to do what we are going to do today. So joining me from the United Kingdom, I believe, is Mr. Jeff Mazingo. Did I say that right, Jeff?
Yeah, correct, yeah. That's the correct pronunciation, yeah.
Of course, I'm an African and your neighbor, so I can't miss it.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Jeff Mazingo, based in the United Kingdom. Welcome, Jeff, to the show.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and also joining us from the United... Yes, also joining us is Mr. Lavell Mwambazi, who's also joining us from Birmingham, England. Mr. Mwambazi, welcome. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time you are in.
Yes, you are welcome. And also joining us also from the United Kingdom is somebody who's not a stranger to this forum. Is part of our, we consider him to be part of our Zambia Block Talk Radio team. He's one of our consulting and advisory elders, Mr. Greswell Mwansa. We popularly know him here as Uncle GM. Uncle GM, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Nathan. Good afternoon.
And thank you for joining us. Let me begin by this. Jeff, I'll direct this question to you. How did this concept of a diaspora funeral cash plan develop?
Firstly, thank you to all the listeners worldwide. The concept of diaspora funeral cash plan is a concept that developed out of need, as was amply put through by Nathan. The world is becoming a global village, and as the world becomes smaller and smaller, people belong to more than one society. But in terms of our emotional belonging and cultural belonging, we always have a situation where someone is in the USA, but someone is in Australia, someone is in the UK, but when you are asked, you always identify with your home country, your country of origin. And that gives the people who are diasporans a double identity, where you have got an identity in the diaspora country and an identity which is more emotional in the home country, mainly because the home country is where your maybe your siblings are, your parents are, your relatives are, your people you grew up with are. So you always belong emotionally to your country of origin. But that creates a dilemma, creates a very big dilemma when it comes to issues of, like, God forbid, someone passes on in the diaspora. People want to be repatriated back home. But the world, the insurance industry globally is such that it doesn't provide for such eventualities, because the most of the products that are in the diaspora market, say UK or USA, they are meant for the mainstream USA citizens, mainstream UK citizens, and don't provide for an African funeral where someone may want to be repatriated. There's a need for a lot of cash to cover the cost of the boat repatriation, to cover the cost of family travel, the cost of the funeral vigil happening in the diaspora country, the prolonged funeral vigil while these people are waiting for the body to arrive in the home country, and also the cost of the burial itself on arrival in the home country. So that there's a big market there. There's a gap in the market where your life insurance, because of medicals, does not pay out immediately, therefore will never bury you. And the only recourse people have had to have is to beg from family and friends to facilitate a send-off for their loved ones. So the diaspora funeral cash plan was therefore uniquely designed to deal with that gap in the market where people are not having the correct product for their dignified send-off. And it's rare that you find not many families who have cash immediately available to cover the cost of the diaspora death, where diaspora death is looked at as either someone dying in the diaspora or someone in the diaspora losing a close relative back home. So that's the background of the product, and the fact that this is now a global village. People want a product that they can go with anywhere in the world and remain covered on the same product with a guaranteed immediate help if something goes wrong. So I can stop there. We can elaborate on the products in detail as we discuss more.
Yeah, excellent. Jeff, well said. Let's talk about the features of this the diaspora funeral cash plan. Okay, it's being called a cash plan. Explain to us how it is working. What do people need to do? What are the features of this cash plan, as it is being called?
Yeah, I will start by explaining the alternatives. Then we can amply demonstrate the need for the product. Basically, like I said, in the mainstream economies like USA, UK, Australia, Canada, which we call greener pastures, and we, as diasporans, we end up settling there, you can easily get your life insurance cover. And life insurance, by its nature, you find that you do medicals on application, you do medicals on claim. The fact of doing medicals on claim means that monies will never be available immediately for the send-off. Therefore, because if someone passes on, say, in the UK, the insurer has to write to the GP, write to the hospital. They want proof of medical records. They want all your medical records from the time you went on the systems for the GP or the hospital. They want all that information to compare with what you said when you applied for your life cover. And that process of writing to a very big hospital institution asking for information means the monies will never be available on time. And it means that there is information on the medical records which was not disclosed deliberately or in error. When you applied, it means your life cover may not pay anyway. So the life cover therefore comes in and doesn't provide for the situation of a diaspora death. Then traditionally funeral insurance provide goods and services. The traditional funeral cover, we know from the funeral directors, provides goods and services. If you die, we'll give you this type of box. We'll give you, help you with the transport. But then if you look at diaspora deaths, the dynamics is totally different. The dynamics is totally different. Your local funeral director in London or in New York can give you a box, can give you local transport to the to go to the local cemetery. But that's completely different from what a diasporan wants. The diasporan wants to be sent back home for a closure with their own people, to give their own people a closure. Therefore, you find that the whole situation becomes different. Your local funeral director can't help you. Your life insurance can't help you. Therefore, we end up with a situation where people have to beg money from strangers to get a send-off. And when you do that, we are all trying to get a dignified send-off, get a closure with our families back home. But that means you are having to beg for help, and that doesn't come very dignified. Then in terms of the features of the product, addressing the problem head-on, the product is very well designed and uniquely designed to a point that it comes with guaranteed acceptance. Any Zambian under 75 who lives in the diaspora is guaranteed to be accepted. No medical question. No medical question on application. No medical question on claim. And any Zambian who lives in the diaspora, like I said, the diaspora death, the way we look at it, it's diaspora, someone dying in the diaspora, or someone in the diaspora losing a close relative back home. Therefore, any diaspora in Zambian can also cover their children. Let's start with the spouse, the children, the parents, and the parents-in-law. They can cover all those people on their cover, irrespective of where those people live. Even if they are back home in Zambia, they can cover them on the same plan. That's so the main point there really is that the guaranteed acceptance, no medicals at all. What does that mean in terms of your benefits? It means in the event of a claim, you don't have to wait for the GPC report. You don't have to wait for the hospital report. All what is required is proof of death. It can be death certificate, police accident report, burial order, any official confirmation of death from an official office is enough evidence that death has happened. And because there is no need for a GPS report, it means once that proof of death is there, and a claim form advising how the money should be paid and where, then there is no reason to delay payout. Therefore, immediately the monies are paid out, wired by telegraphic transfer into any bank account worldwide. So it doesn't matter where you are, as long as you can provide a bank account, the monies are wired immediately. The guarantee is that within 24 hours of proof of death, the transaction is done, the monies are wired, and it's straight to the bank account. The second feature, which you picked, Nathan, when you were talking about the name, why cash-based? It's cash by design. The fact of cash is simply because the cover is meant to help families immediately in the event of a claim. And if it's therefore moved from the traditional funeral cover, which gives you goods and services, because with the diaspora and death, you're looking at the cost of the cash to repatriate the body, the cost for the family to travel with the body, the cost to cover the expenses while these people are gathered in the diaspora country, the cash required to cover the prolonged funeral vigil when people are waiting for the body back home, the cost of repatriating the personal effects of the deceased, all those things need cash. And therefore, this cover is designed as a cash-based cover to give also families flexibility, to give the families flexibility that you are in the USA today, relocate to Canada, relocate to Australia, relocate to UK. You don't need to worry that, I've left my cover in the USA, I've left my cover in Australia. A cash-based gives you maximum flexibility because you can be anywhere in the world. You remain covered on the same plan because cash knows no border. Therefore, we talk of this cover as a protection without borders. It's a protection without borders, which was designed with the full consideration of the dynamics of migration. It's a cover meant for a global villager who can be anywhere and still needs to benefit from the same cover. I think those two features, I can highlight those two features, but the fact is also that it's a US dollar denominated policy, which means today, tomorrow, and forever. you will always be covered in US dollars. If you choose to go back to Zambia in retirement, or you find an opportunity to go to another African country, it's not mandatory that you change your cover to say to a Kwacha cover. You can remain covered in the US dollars and forever for the rest of your life with a guaranteed payout at the end of the life. So that's the other key feature of the product, that once you are covered for the rest of your life and with a guaranteed payout at the end of your life. So that's, those are some of the key features. We can discuss them as, some of them as we go along.
That's good. Worldwide cover, protection without borders. You are listening to our special feature today on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. We are discussing the Diaspora Funeral Cash Plan, which is a courtesy and sponsorship of Uncle GM in the United Kingdom. Those of you that are listening, if you want to look at the details and some of the things that Jeff Lavelle and Uncle GM will be sharing with us, let me give you the website. It's simply Diaspora Funeral Cash Plan, one word, .com. Diaspora Funeral Cash Plan, .com. My goodness, this website is so brilliant. It's so good. Everything is there. You can get the details from there. Let me go to Mr. Mwambazi. Mwambazi, this, of course, is coming from the United Kingdom, if I may put it that way. I don't know what you would say about how information has gone out, how the community has received it, the concerned communities. What would be your comments on that?
Yeah, as you know, it's, the policy is quite new, but
yes.
There's a lot of work which has been done in ensuring that we reach out to a number of people. Just in the UK, there will be a team of insurers, both from Zimbabwe and Zambia. In the case of Zambia, we are receiving the MD herself and her team. They will be coming to the UK. They will be in London on 17th of July, 2015, and they will be in Manchester, Old Trafford, on the 18th, and they will be in Birmingham. Those are the three largest cities. And that it's been arranged in such a way that it's going to have an impact, because a lot of people have been invited. We've sent messages everywhere and anywhere. So that is going to be, actually, that's going to kickstart everything. Yeah. So other than that, there is as well, there's just a word of mouth from Zambia. The Zambian media as well is getting involved. MLife is kickstarted from Zambia, because if a number of people, since we are connected with Zambia, so if they get to know from Zambia, they'll be able to, as they talk and discuss with their relatives in diaspora, they'll be able to mention it to say, have you heard about this product? So having said that, it's really, really kicking off quite well.
Excellent. So, Mr. Mwambazi, the road trips which have been planned, that is, you said something that has captured my attention here. We have the actual chief executive of the insurance company underwriting this policy coming in from Zambia. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. As we would want the people listening to understand, is diaspora in itself is a product. So within that
yes.
product, is then the vision and the understanding of it is then shared with insurers. And then the insurers, in the case of Zambia, it's MLife who have undertaken to underwrite it. And we are happy with MLife because of their credibility, the credibility they have. Because when it comes to insurance, guaranteed payment can only be done if the insurer himself, they are strong. In the case of MLife, it's grown, even if it was established in 1992, the strength it has now is quite strong financially, and as well, it's listed on Lusaka Stock Exchange. It was listed last year within that initial listing, it was oversubscribed with over 42 institutional shareholders, demonstrating the confidence that they have in the insurer. And from our point of view, looking at the strength of M-Life and the way they want, the vision they have for this product, it gives us confidence to be able to advise and sell this product with confidence, knowing that the key feature of guaranteed payment is guaranteed, meaning our word is our bond. And that's the more reason that's why we are so encouraged. Personally, I'm passionate about it. I believe in the product, and to demonstrate the fact that I believe in the product, I'm passionate about the product, I was the first one to register and sign my family on it, as well as to add my mother-in-law, my mom as well on the product, which to me is a good thing because we are leading overloaded lives here in the diaspora. That being the case, you'd find that we are overstretched. Very few of us at any given time, they're going to have the money required to go, for instance, to go and attend your mom's funeral or your dad's funeral. So because of that, this policy, it has come at the right time. So we should not be of an excuse, because through it, we've been given the opportunity to be saving. It's like you are actually a forced saving, because those contributions is a guaranteed. Because if you look at death itself, even from demographers who are study population, they define death as each one of us were exposed to the risk of death the day we were born. The fact that we can live 2 years, 4 years, 10 years, it is simply by the grace of the Lord. But any time we can be called upon. That being the case, it then calls upon us to be ready, to be aware, to have that awareness. A number of times we just focus on the goals we want to achieve. We've been motivated and we've left, as Jeff has indicated, we've left our home country, our country of birth, and we are overseas. We are more focused on goals that we want to achieve. We want to build houses. We want to own this. But what we are not mindful of is the unlikely event. And that unlikely event, in this case, death, it can delay all those plans. So if it can delay, we know that we have our inheritance, our children. So we have to be ready for them, making sure that we are ready. We've made provision not to inconvenience our families by having this policy, which is well tailored for our needs. So having said that, anyway, let me not preempt the other questions which will come up. Let me just say, it's such a wonderful product. I'm so passionate about it.
Yes, this is good. Those listening, once again, the website is, it's important that as you are listening to the gentleman share this information with us, that you look at some of these things. DiasporaFuneralCashPlan.com. I'm a Zambian. You can't miss any of the words that I'm pronouncing. DiasporaFuneralCashPlan.com. Go to the website and look at it. Jeff or other members, either of you can respond to this. One thing that we need to make clear here, one of the things that happens is when somebody dies away from home, the biggest challenge is repatriation of the body. Does this cash plan offer an option? Can I be buried in Canada, Russia, UK, Australia, where I'm living if I choose to?
Yes, let me just quickly say something, and I know Jeff will be able to add more. Jeff did say that it's cash-based. Because it's cash-based, once that cash in itself means that you can do, once that you receive that cash, which is guaranteed within 24 hours, once you've received it, you will not be restricted. If you feel you can then just have the burial to take place where you are, you no longer have those emotional attachments back home, then you can go ahead. No one will restrict you because you've changed your mind and want the burial to take place where you are, then they will claim the money. It's not meant to be like that. The insurer's main objective is to simply pay you what you do with the money up to the way you want the money to be managed. I'm sure Jeff will add something there.
Jeff, I don't know if there's anything to add there. I think it's straightforward. Let's discover the cash options because, Jeff, I would like you probably to respond to this before I bring in my Uncle GM and the others that have called in. Those that have called in, if you have any questions, please press 1 on your phone keypad so that we know. Jeff, let's discuss the cover options, okay? Individuals, family, groups. I have association leaders listening right now. How does it work? If a group wants to take up this cash plan, what's the procedure? Jeff, I'm sorry, Jeff. Okay, Jeff, are you there? Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Sorry, we didn't hear what you said. I'd put you on mute. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
please begin.
I'll come again.
Yes.
Yeah, the cover is designed to provide for all situations and eventualities. And starting with the cash option, the underlying word there is that board repatriation is not mandatory. So if someone decides over time to say, I now belong to the USA, you can still use the same cover. If you decide to be cremated, you can use the same cover. Then going to the options, the cover was designed with all the considerations that some people may want to cover as singles, which is just a single plan on the individual plan. Some people may want to cover as a family. And on the family plan, you can add yourself, your spouse, your children. As long as your children are under 25, they can go on the same cover. Then you can also add your parents, and you can also add your parents-in-law. That's on the family plan. Then we also have a provision for groups, and that becomes very interesting because over time, what I believe is that any civilized society besieged and wounded by the same problem of diaspora debt, they try to craft a solution to their problems. That's too much civilization. And over time, people have come up with these associations, burial societies, clubs, the town association, all sorts of groupings that people have come to try and help each other. Some of the burial societies function as pre-funded, where people contribute and they keep a buffer fund for the eventuality. Some burial societies operate as a hybrid between pre-funding and collecting when there's a problem. And some only work on the basis that if there's a problem, every member should contribute so much. All those solutions were crafted to help out a situation. And the insurers that we work with, MLife, one of the biggest insurers in Zambia, appreciate that. So the provision is there to help those groups and associations. The help is such that you can transform that very same group or association or burial society into a group cover on the group plan, such that the whole essence of doing that is to transfer the risk from the group having the risk of having to pay out large sums of money if a member passes on. The risk is transferred to the insurer, and the product can be structured such that all the group members have got cover. All what the group needs to agree is to say, these are the people we have, and we want to recommend everyone to cover for so much. If you are covering people in the USA who are part of the group, so much. If you want to cover parents back home in Zambia, there is no cost of repatriation. Therefore, we can limit the cost of the cover amount to so much. Then once we have done that, we can structure a deal which is suitable for the group. And the group members can just agree how they contribute the premiums. We can give them the premiums based on two levels. One way is an average premium for every member of the group. One way we can give an average premium for an adult member of the group. And one way we give an average premium for a child. Premiums would be affected by age. So people can do that. We've done groups on the Zimbabwe product, groups with more than 100 people. So people can do that and have that protection. But the key thing is, if a small group suffers consecutive deaths, or God forbid, there's a family who suffer an accident and five members of the family go in the same accident, it leaves the group very, very stretched. But if they are underwritten by the insurance company, they don't have to do anything. They can do the moral support and all the helping with the work, with the funeral, but the monies will be there from the insurer to cover the cost of repatriation, to cover the cost of family travel and all those. So we've got an individual plan, group family plan, and group plan. All those are available to groups. But on the website right now, people can quote for individual plan, single plan, and can quote for family plan. If there are groups that are interested, they can come through the website or come through the numbers that we will provide through later on. Then we can structure deals that are suitable for groups for them. But the provisions, okay, the provisions are all there.
Jeff, before I go to area code 805, they want to ask a question. If the Zambians in Australia right now, they are listening, okay? Zambians in Western Australia are listening. Zambians living in Kenya are listening. Zambians in South Africa are listening. And they say, we want to have an association, a diaspora funeral cash plan. What information do you require from them?
What the information we require from is very simple. The way the cover works is that being a cash-based cover, each life that you cover, you provide a cover amount, and you do know how much is the premium for each life. Because there are two things that affect the premium on the cover. One is the age of the person. The second factor is the amount, the age and the amount of cover. So we've got a data capture form that we give associations and groups to enter their members. If, say, suppose a group has got 10 members, you enter member one, and member one may be husband, wife, three children, two parents, or whatever the group may have agreed in terms of who can be added. Member two, husband, maybe three children, and do it like that. So once we have all that information, we can then structure to say, this is what we recommend. For someone in the USA, we recommend you cover a minimum cover of so much. If you've got members back home, minimum cover of so much, then we make recommendations to the group for them to discuss and say, we are happy with this. Like I said, in the UK, we've got some groups like the one group in Essex who has got more than 100 people covered on the same plan, and it's working perfectly for them. If anything happens to a member of that group, the insurer will just be notified, proof of death, and the money is wired to the group account. What we find to be more workable with the groups is that we would do the cover for the groups if there are pre-existing groups which are constituted already. We already have the group functioning. They've got their chairman, their treasurer, their secretary, their bank account, and they are ready to do. It's almost impossible to start to build a group for group cover by saying, oh, there's this product. Let's come together and take this product as a group. Because once you constitute a group and a member of the group, come money, they don't contribute their share of the premium, it means they are affecting everyone. Does the group fall behind with payments and leave everyone exposed, or you want to be paying for that member this month? Next month, do you pay for the member again? So those becomes a problem. But groups that are pre-constituted and already functional are a lot easier because they know each other. They know they respect what they agree to do. But he's starting to just for the sake of taking this cover will take forever. You end up with members of the group who will never contribute a single premium. You end up collapsing as a whole group. And sometimes we got another big group who chose to say we are group for moral support because we are one people. We identify together. We can help together. But if it comes to funeral, it's not always about money. There's the emotional, moral support. Mm. So some groups end up choosing to say, fine, for the sake of us progressing, let's work this way. Each family in the group takes their own cover, and the next family takes their own cover. They remain as a group, but they know that if they suffer any bereavement, the group does not have to suffer the pain of saying, contribute, create a GoFund account, this and that, is social media, WhatsApp, begging. They know that all their members have got cover. Therefore, we meet at the prayers. And we strengthen the ones who have lost their loved ones. But otherwise, money-wise, every member will be covered through their own family plan, although they can remain as a group. Yeah. So that's how it's structured. Okay. It's available. The option is available.
Okay. Excellent. That makes sense. Okay. Before we continue our discussion, let me allow area code 805, last four digits, 7461. They've indicated that they want to ask a question. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Pastor Nathan. This is Ntei Kabandama in California.
Welcome, Ntei. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. I want to start by saying congratulations to the Diaspora Funeral Cash Plan Group. That's Mr. Mazingo, Mr. Mwambazi. Thank you very much for introducing this product. It's something that I've been hoping for and waiting for a long time. My questions are very simple. I'll use myself as an example. What if I want coverage, but I don't have the proper identification? My status in the country, in the diaspora, is in limbo. Can I still apply for coverage? Also, what if I have a medical condition? I have diabetes. I have high blood pressure. I have a condition that has already disqualified me from applying for insurance in the country where I live. Can I still apply for insurance with a diaspora funeral cash plan?
Yeah,
my answer.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Lavelle, you can answer the second part. Let me pick the first part about the legal status or immigration status. CAVA is meant for Zambians, irrespective of whether they are illegal or legal. It doesn't matter. Wherever they live, it doesn't matter whether they are official in terms of their immigration or not. Because
could you say that again, please, sir? Sir, I didn't hear you. Could you say that again, please?
What I'm simply saying is the CAVA is meant for Zambians, irrespective of whether they are official where they live or not. Whether you have got your papers are in order or not, it doesn't matter. You are a Zambian. So the issue of immigration doesn't come in at all. In the case of like Zimbabwe, because the product has been running for Zimbabwe in diaspora for about 3.5 years now, we've had a few claims where people didn't have any identity whatsoever. An identity of their country of origin and no legal status in the country they are living. In those situations, all what needs to happen is for the family to go to the Zambian embassy, they sign an affidavit to say we have lost a relative, they want to be repatriated back home, and that's it. People can just be repatriated, no issue about your immigration status at all, nothing. So immigration status is completely out, and also that relates to another point. Where someone in the USA has become American, they now have an American passport. Someone in the UK has become British. The same applies with another country.
Uh-huh.
Emotionally, you still belong home. And if the day comes, you want to be sent back to your people for their closure and also for your dignified send-off to be buried at the family Euroseca. So, at the end of the day, whether someone has become British or become American, it matters not. When it comes to your repatriation, the CAVA will just pay out cash and your repatriation can be arranged. And it also maybe just takes the embassy to give a consent that the person is being repatriated because they are Zambian, because the relatives have signed the affidavit to say they are Zambians. That's all what needs to happen. Very simple.
Okay. Amambas, did you want to add on?
Oh, yeah, it's on the issue of medicals. This has already been highlighted in our key features. It's no medicals at all on application or on claim. And this is one of the key features that is there. We do not get to ask any intrusive question whatsoever. In fact, this is meant to address the fear that we have of having to undergo to go through some questions. So to answer that question straightforward, you will not be asked any medical question at all, both on application as well as on claim.
Excellent. A lot of people have called in from different parts of the United States. Guys, let's take responsibility. Florida is in the house. Atlanta is in the house. Namungi, I see you. Texas, we're in the house. We need to take responsibility. Uncle GM, what does this mean specifically for the Zambian community, and how do we move from here?
Well, let me first of all say that when we are discussing matters to do with death. And the reason why we are behind, it's a taboo subject culturally. So in terms of provision for when one dies, you'll be asked, well, how do you know you're going to die tomorrow? We never actually broach the subject. And often when somebody dies, there is a begging bowl that passes round. And correct me if I'm wrong, but even through Zambia Block Talk Radio, there have been appeals to help either somebody has got a condition, they need medical attention, or somebody has died. We do not do very well in terms of contributions. And as somebody says, you know, there are two certainties in life, taxes and death. It's high time we really addressed this issue so that we do not leave our families in problems. Although repatriation is the one that has been commented upon, but there is also the fact that if somebody wants to be buried in the diaspora, there are certain relatives that one may want to come so that they can attend. So from that point of view, my attraction to this in terms of promoting it to others is that it lessens the burden on the family of the deceased. But also, even friends, they will not be that burdened with that if they know. The only question that I would like to, or a matter that I would like either Mbazi or Jeff to clear, is this aspect. You know, in our African setup, when somebody dies, administrators, and in particular where there is money, you get different people. Does one before they die have to say the administrator or the next of kin is this person? I think that is an important aspect, so that when I'm no more, I don't want fights amongst my family members, you know, because they see there is this money that will come. It may not even go entirely to the barrier, because somebody may want to appropriate it. I would like to have the option of saying, in the event of my death, so and so, either my wife or my, you know, one of my children, will be the one that makes contact with the insurer.
Yeah, correct. Thank you so much for raising the issue. It's fully provided for what happens with the diaspora cover, because the whole product is so simplified to avoid a situation where people, families get bogged down with paperwork when they are undergoing bereavement. So the cover, therefore, when you apply, you actually appoint. Let me start from the person who is applying. The person who is applying is called the principal life and the main life on the cover. Therefore, if you apply, you add your spouse, your children, your parents. If anything happens, God forbid, to any of those lives you have added, and you are yourself as the owner of the policy, it's you who claim, and it's you who do what you want to do with the money in terms of giving your loved ones the dignified send-off that they deserve. Then, God forbid, something happens to you as the main owner of the policy. The application form provides you to appoint two people, and it's entirely your decision who you appoint. In most cases where there is your husband and wife, the spouse becomes the what we call principal beneficiary, with the person who can claim on the money if the owner of the policy is not there due to two things, either death or incapacity. If the owner of the policy is not there due to death or incapacity, the first person we appointed to claim is called the principal beneficiary. Then we also went on to provide to say, in some situations, God forbid again, there are situations where husband and wife can be traveling together, and they are the only people on the policy who can claim the money. And something happens to both of them. Either one is dead, or they are both dead, or one is dead, one is deceased, while one is incapacitated, is in intensive care. We provided for a situation like that Not that we wish for it, but it's a possibility of life. We provided that you can appoint a third person called the secondary beneficiary. And the secondary beneficiary can only claim if the owner of the policy is not there and the principal beneficiary is also not there. And people can choose to appoint anyone and they can choose to remove them at any time. If they feel that, I appointed my brother, but this guy has gone wrong somewhere. He's become a playboy or is he... You can change them and appoint someone you want. So, and in any case, in terms of who you appoint, it doesn't matter where they live. You can appoint anyone you want to appoint. So I hopefully that addresses the concern.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Excellent. For those listening, please, the website again is Diaspora Funeral Cash Plan. Diaspora Funeral Cash Plan, oneweb.com. One thing, Mr. Mwambazi and Jeff, I like about this website is that you've got this interaction chat room for those that are listening. If you go onto the website, there will be somebody to chat with you and to answer your questions that you might have immediately. Let me ask this question just as to give an example. Jeff or Mr. Mwambazi, you can answer this. I'm 30 years old. I want a policy for $30,000. Give me an average of what it will cost me.
Okay. In terms of age, you definitely qualify, but the maximum amount for this policy is $15,000. So you can choose any amount up to $15,000. Any amount above that is not considered at the moment. But to just maybe take an example, you'd find that, say, for instance, someone who is about 30,000 and takes a cover of about 15,000. On average, I would say, because it's just based on age and the amount, on average, it will be well less than $30. But advice I would give that, per month. My advice to that question will be each individual should just contact an advisor or go on the website and get a quotation, because it's very easy to use. You can just go on the website, register, and all the steps necessary for you to get a quotation will actually be readily available.
Okay, excellent. Let's take another quick question here in the few minutes remaining. Dr. Munsange, please go ahead from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, this is a brilliant plan. My question is, what is the difference with this cash plan, funeral cash plan, and life insurance? If one already has life insurance and something happens to them, the money is available. And what is the average cost?
Can I come in there? I'll quickly explain. I did touch on that in the initial explanation. Basically, the standard life insurance is medically tested. On application and on claim. Even if you fill in the form on application, height, weight, medical history, medical records, your medical conditions, and you pass through everything, okay? It doesn't mean that on claim they will just give you the check immediately. You may have passed through the form by providing false information. Therefore, when it comes to claim, the insurer would have to write to your GP, to write to the hospital. They want all your medical records to compare with what you said when you applied. If it so happens that there is a significant non-disclosure, like you will find questions like your parents' siblings, has anyone suffered cancer before the age of 65? Your parents' siblings, has anyone suffered stroke before the age of 65? And you tick no. Then if you have a situation in the hospital, and you suddenly remember that dad passed away of stroke, and you put it on the records because they are desperate for help. When the insurer picks the form, they realize that, oh, you knew about this and you didn't tell us. They will then say that's a significant non-disclosure and refuse to pay. That's why they have to do medicals on claim as well. What the difference then with the diaspora funeral cash plan is there are two differences. The main one is that the diaspora funeral cash plan does not do medicals at all. No medicals. We don't even want to know your height or weight. The form doesn't have provision for that. Or what we want, age and the amount of cover. Then you set up your address and set up how you want to pay your premiums. That's all what is required to go through the go through the process. How does that help? It means in the event of a claim, when the proof of death is there, there's and the claim form advising how the family wants the money, there is no reason to delay payout, completely no reason. The monies are wired out. That's why we say within 24 hours of proof of death, the monies are paid out. And that is deliberately done to help families. Then the second factor that people need to appreciate on this cover is the fact of the cover being a cover for life. It's a cover for life. Once you are covered for your life with a guaranteed payout at the end of the life. So if you are covered for 15,000 and you are 30 years old, you are covered for that 15,000. Whenever you are going to own, that money is going to be paid out. Whereas on a standard life insurance that most people are familiar with, it's a cover for a given period. It may be a cover for 20 years. The most common one is 25 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff, we are running out of time here.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I think I've explained the points here.
Yes. Yes, you have. You have. And I think our listeners have got the information. Once again, the website is diasporafuneralcashplan.com. You can go to the website. They have provision for a chat room where you can ask your question. As to the Zambian community, I think this is a timely thing to happen. We thank Uncle GM for facilitating and introducing us to our guests and telling us about this and also for sponsoring. Mr. Mwambazi, final words to our Zambian community in 20 seconds?
Oh, yeah. What would I say? Especially I would want to talk to my Christian brothers to say it's actually we have been called upon by God Almighty himself to look after, make provision for our families, especially our immediate family. If they want a reference for that, it comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives or especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So it's a challenge from God himself. So we need to actually be aware that we need insurance itself does not at all interfere with our faith, because faith is an act of that we have with God in our hearts. What the provisioning of what we provide for our parents, our family, does not end up interfering with our faith. You could tell that, in fact, prosperity does not in any way mean that you divert away from your faith. We could see from the God's people themselves when they were traveling in the wilderness, the desert, they had nothing there, but they still rebelled. So we should really make sure that what is important is that the plan, what we need to ensure is that if we are not sure about what God is saying, all we need is to go back to what God has already said in his own word, the Bible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. Mr. Mwambazi, Mr. Mazingo, Uncle GM. Everybody have a great weekend and happy 4th of July.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you to the organizers.